Do you believe God heals today? He does. Now, I want you to process that thought. Do you believe that God heals today? Do you believe it is His will to heal? It is. It is always God's will to heal. Jesus never once asked the Father, not once, if it was God's will, if it was the Father's will to heal. Not once. You cannot find it in Scripture. It's not there. It is always the will of God to heal. And immediately, I know what's running through people's minds, and we're not going to address that this morning. But it is always the will of the Father God to heal. And so what happens is people start taking their experience and they're ringing out loud. Just wait, there we go. And we take our experience, and what we do is we bring the Word of God down to our experience instead of asking God to take us up to the Word of God. I want that thought to permeate your thought today. We take what we've experienced and we bring it down and say that's how it is instead of taking our experience up to the Word of God. And the truth of the matter is, all through Scripture, Jesus healed. And I know what's going through your mind, and you say, yes, that was Jesus. Now remember, Jesus always healed as the Son of Man. He always healed as the Son of Man. He needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He needed the blessing of the Father. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. He healed as the Son of Man. You remember a few weeks ago we went through that He was tempted at all points, tempted in every way, yet was without sin. And He became sin that so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And you are as righteous as God. You are as righteous as God. He said, "Be holy, for I am holy." The church of Jesus Christ is holy. We are a royal priesthood. If we were not holy through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the veil, we sang about it this morning, that was tore, we could not approach the throne of God with boldness. So let me prepare the soil of your heart for a few minutes today. As we close out the service today, we're going to have people who will be across here, and you will have the opportunity to come for healing. You'll have the opportunity, if you've never received Christ, to come and receive Jesus' Spirit. You'll have the opportunity to come and receive healing soul. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you'll have the opportunity to come and receive healing for your body. And sometimes Jesus does all three just like that. You're going to hear a testimony before we pray of a wonderful healing that took place last year. And it's going to build your faith. Because the issue really is not faith, because Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Be gone," and it shall be thrown into the sea. The issue is that so often we're dealing with, in our own lives, in our own hearts, I said our, my, unbelief and doubt. And again, we take what's happened in our experience with the Word of God, or in our lives, or in our church life, or we've lost loved ones that weren't healed and so on and so forth. And so we bring God down to that where God is saying, "I want you to come up to a new place and a new level and trust what my word says, because in these days I'm about to pour out my spirit like never before." Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Yeah. And is the church ready for such an outpouring of God? You have notes that were in your bulletin. The Greek word for signs means the official written notice that announced a court's final verdict, the signature or seal applied to a document to guarantee its authenticity. Why did Jesus heal? Why did He cast out demons? Why did He go about doing the works? Because first of all, He said, if you don't know the Father, which, by the way, to the Pharisees and the religious was blasphemy to speak of God as Father. Larry, you called him Papa today. To spend more time with Papa, that's the word Abba. You know, I love to FaceTime with my grandchildren because they all get their face, because it's FaceTime, they all get their face in there and yell out, Papa! It's the coolest thing. For those of you who have grandchildren, you love to hear those words, Papa. It's amazing. And our Father is Papa. He is God. And He is more willing to give us all good things than we are willing to receive them. And that's where we wrestle. And again, it comes into, are we worthy enough? Are we worthy? If you're in Christ, you're worthy. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We're in Christ. We're His kids. We're His children. And so Jesus went about doing all of these signs to verify who He was. It made Him authentic. It made Him real. And yet the Pharisees actually said He does these things by Beelzebub, the power of Satan. And He looked at them and said, any house divided is going to collapse. How could I be casting out demons by a demon or by the power of the one? Beelzebub was another word for Satan. It means Lord of the flies. Did you know demons are just little flies? That's all they are. Little flies. So defeated. So defeated. And yet the church is still afraid for some reason of Satan. Let me share with you a picture I had of our enemy this week. I've been praying about a number of things, and I was driving along and I heard a little whisper. How many of you hear little whispers at times from the enemy? Now you got to discern, is this God, me, or the enemy? I heard this little whisper. And the little whisper said, you'll never have that. So you know what I said? Shut up in the name of Jesus. No, we all laugh at that, but that's how you must speak to the enemy. And then I had a picture of him that I have never, ever had. It was like an open vision of our enemy. This very decrepit, totally destroyed, feeble, old, destroyed individual, completely annihilated by the blood of Jesus Christ and who Christ is. Completely destroyed, and we're afraid of the enemy. I am here to tell you today, Jesus Christ is King. He's the author and finisher of our faith. How dare we think that the enemy, Satan, can overrule what God wants to do? How dare we think that what Christ went through wasn't enough? It was completely enough. Satan is defeated. Say amen. Amen. He's completely defeated. Defeated. And Jesus went around healing the sick. Signs shall accompany those who believe. It authenticated Christ's ministry and the ministry of the church. Do you know what? You want to know why a lot of people don't want to be part of the church? Because the church is powerless. That's a very harsh statement, Pastor Mark. I'm telling you the truth. Powerless. They see there's no power in the church. Signs are not what we seek, but signs point to Jesus Christ, the one who gave us the authority and the power to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring freedom to captives, to people. Let's go to Mark 16, 15 to 18. I think I have that. There we go. Right on. Mark chapter 16. The words of Christ, and He's saying, these signs shall follow. This is after His resurrection. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. That is now the assignment of the body of Christ. Whoever believes and is baptized, we spoke on baptism a few weeks ago, will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. 17. And these signs will accompany, mean come along with, those who believe in My name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. Now, we're not going to address that this morning. It's kind of like when I told you this story when we had a bull snake on the balcony in our home in Empress, great big bull snake, and my wife phoned me at the coffee shop and said, "Mark, I got a huge bull snake on the balcony. Hurry up and bring a man." Yeah, I've never been the same since. It just really messed me up, man, I'm telling you. Yeah. Let's just for 1 minute talk about that. They would pick up snakes with their hands. Remember when Paul in Acts was bitten by a viper? Should have died. Shook it off. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And we're going to focus on this last one. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Now in your Bibles, look at 19 and 20. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere and the Lord worked with them. Do you know what's going to happen this morning? The Lord is going to work with us this morning. He's already working with us this morning. And he is going to bring and has already brought an atmosphere of healing to this house. It's true. You just have to receive it. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. There are to be signs that are accompanying us. Matthew 11, 1 to 5. Jesus said, "Greater things you shall do because I go to the Father." He was sending us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present in us. We don't have to beg for the Holy Spirit because the Spirit is within us. He's here. He's in us. You know, so often we've prayed, "Go with the people. God, go with the people." Well, where is he going to go? He lives in us. He lives in us. He's here. When you became born again, he came into your life. He's in you. All of that power, that dunamis power, Acts 1:8, the power of the Holy Spirit is within us. Verse 1, after Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples, verse 3, to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see." He sent a report back, and here's what the report was. "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." That's a pretty good report, don't you think? Now, you're wondering, some of us will wonder, why would John doubt that Jesus was the Christ? What happened in the mind of John the Baptist that Jesus was the Christ? Because John had baptized Jesus, they were cousins. What is going on here? And John, as he saw the ministry of Jesus, he knew he was the Messiah. What happened in John? Well, first of all, he was imprisoned, and it was because he went after Herod, who was living or sleeping with, or whatever you want to call it. I think his brother's wife. I don't know if I've got that correct. But anyway, it was not good. John went after him. Said, "You can't be doing that." There is a way to approach political leaders, by the way. And it's not that way. No, that's the truth. That's a whole nother message. That there is another way to approach people who are our leaders. It wasn't the way John went about it. And because the gal's daughter did a little dance and he says, "Oh, I'll give you whatever you want, up to half my kingdom," I think he said, and so on and so forth. And she said, "I want John's head on a platter." Because John went after them. So John's in prison. I think John was thinking, "Look, Jesus, you've come to establish your kingdom here. You should be getting me out of prison." And I think as the days went on and the time lingered and on and on and on it went, and Jesus wasn't getting John out of prison, he was getting attacked with doubt. By the way, this verse And this portion is always for us. Every bit of it is, because sometimes we get attacked by doubt. Amen? Sure we do. Sure we do. See, if you come for healing today and you go, I'm struggling with doubt, then the faith of somebody else can get you healed. Well, thanks for your big amen. Yep. If you're struggling with doubt, the faith of somebody else can get your healing. You just have to agree with them. But see, we're taught, well, you don't have enough faith. Faith sometimes struggles. There's unbelief that comes in, whatever. We need to move beyond that. We need to get into the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to raise your faith level by watching TV 5 hours a day. That's the truth. You have to be in the Word of God. Your level of faith will come up. Food for thought. That's on your notes. Whenever we focus on what God is not doing, getting John out of prison, doubt enters. Focus on what God is doing and what His Word says, and faith is built. Think about that. Whenever you focus on what you think God isn't doing, doubt comes in. Whenever you focus on what God has done and is doing, faith is built. Now, just for a moment, we're going to have it really quiet here. I want you to think, and the Holy Spirit is going to drop a thought into your mind and your heart of a good thing, a miracle that God did for you. So we're going to just take a minute and think about it. How many of you had a thought, this is what God did for me? Come on, lift your hand. All right. If He did that, why won't He do more and do it again? If He did that, why would He leave you hanging somewhere? If He's a good Father who gives us good gifts, why would He not heal you today? Well, it's just the cross I have to bear. No, sorry. Mm-mm. So often, when we preach and teach on healing, there's a wall that goes up in people's minds. Do you know that? And the church, there's just a wall. The enemy wants to put up a wall. Because when healing and miracles break out, Satan knows that it's the greatest advertisement that Jesus has arrived on the scene. God wants to heal today. Let's go to Isaiah 53, 3-5, because we base everything on Scripture. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, our sin. We transgressed the law. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. In Deuteronomy, horrific punishment, but God allowed 40 lashes. But the 40th could kill. The Apostle Paul talked about that he had 40 less one, 39. The 40th could literally kill. Jesus was not beaten under Jewish law. Jesus was beaten under Roman law. The Romans had no limit. No limit. I read a description of the beating of Christ this week by Rick Renner, who is just tremendous in the Greek. I could not read it. I couldn't finish it. I could not read it. It was so horrific. so horrible. And what bothered me the most was not the fact that this horrific beating that he took a horrific, it wasn't a beating, it wasn't like this. His body was literally torn to shreds. In fact, with many under Roman beatings and crucifixion, and I'll end with this, they were so torn apart their entire bowels would fall out. Now, Jesus was not at that point. He still carried the cross, but it says in Isaiah that you could not recognize him. He was unrecognizable. And it also says, and this is hard to understand, that it pleased the Father. No, it did not please the Father that he went through that. It pleased the Father that salvation and healing and deliverance was done for people. That's what pleased God. His shed blood. And see, what bothers me so much is that there are churches that teach that God puts sickness on people. He did that to teach you a lesson. Would you please write this down? L-I-E. That is a lie. That's an absolute lie. We'll see where sickness comes in a minute. But what bothered me the most too was the fact that I at times don't think that what Jesus paid was enough. This is a work of grace, folks. Everybody say grace.
Grace,
grace paid for all this. Unmerited favor, didn't deserve it, but I'll sure take it. Amazing. Do we have 1 Peter on there? If not, let's go to 1 Peter 2:24, because, Darlene, at the end of the service when people are coming, if you could put that scripture up, I would really appreciate that, because I want you to see a scripture that as you're coming for healing, that because what are you going to base your healing on? Are you going to base your healing on good thinking? What are you going to base it on? You have to base your healing on the Word of God. You've got to stand upon the Word of God. See, we lay hands on the sick because that's what disciples do. It says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. And it says, cursed is anyone who hung on a tree. That's in Deuteronomy. He became the curse for us. So the curse of the law and the curse of sickness and disease. And listen, folks, all disease, all war, all evil, all the drug problem that we have going on in this city, everything that's going on is not of God. It all comes through the hands of Satan. God gave dominion to man back, those who would follow Christ at the cross. And we are to take dominion over these things in our lives and in the city. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Okay, just turn back to the front page. Rick Renner, this is at the bottom, says this. The word healed in 1 Peter is the word, and you can read the Greek for yourself. This word clearly refers to physical healing. It is a word borrowed from a medical term to describe the physical healing or curing of the human body. Healing comes from the atonement. It's of the cross. If God put sickness on people, it would violate what he did at the cross through his son, Jesus Christ. It's part of the atonement. And we have been given the power to lay hands on the sick and see them healed, whether saved or unsaved. Did you know that? Jesus went about healing people. He just healed people. And sometimes he couldn't heal. In his own hometown, he couldn't heal. There was not enough faith. He's very few miracles. Couldn't do it. Well, I thought he was the Son of God. He was operating as the Son of Man under the baptism and power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes there's so much unbelief, he couldn't heal. There were times he told people to get out of the room. Why did he do that? He's rude. He's not rude. He sensed the spirit of unbelief. You got to leave. Peter did the exact same thing. There was so much unbelief. So he said, leave. And he gathered around people who believed that they could be healed. I'm not asking anyone to leave today because your faith's being built. on the back page, three causes of sickness. Number one, the body can naturally break down. We don't look after ourselves. We get sick. We don't get enough sleep. We get flu, cold, whatever, right? The body can break down. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. How many know that? Yeah. How about stress? How about stress? Do you read what stress is doing to our culture? Do you read what this culture of just go, 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 go is doing to people? You can see it. Boy, are people angry today. Anger. They're just going and 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 going. And it's wearing people out. You know, we were raised in a church and a family that believed that Sunday was the Lord's day, and you go to church and you take a rest, and lots of things were closed down. You can't close the hospital and all that stuff, but it wasn't the Sabbath. The Sabbath is Friday night, Saturday, but it was the Lord's day when the early church met, and we were just taught that that was a day of some rest, right? Well, I don't really care when you take rest. I just think every person should have a day of rest. Can I hear an amen? So you need to start changing your schedule. You got to slow down. It's causing breakdowns. So our body breaks down. Sickness in the New Testament was also attributed to the work of Satan and demons. What? Well, we'll just go to Scripture and you're going to find out. Thirdly, toxic emotions such as unforgiveness. I just listed a few. Anger, worry, anxiety, fear. We sang, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Bitterness, etc. You can add to the list. Whether you want to know this or not, those are in your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And if things sometimes are not dealt with, that can cause physical sickness. All right? Church doesn't like to hear that, but that's the truth. So God wants you set free in all areas of your life, in your mind, which is your soul. You deal with things. You deal with hurts in the background and get that out and get that dealt with and forgive. Because when we don't, sometimes the body, and doctors are proving this more and more and more, these things cause sickness in our bodies. They're like a toxic chemical, right? How about laughter? We were talking about this in one of our, maybe it was a planning days, Pastor Larry, I can't remember, but when's the last time we just belly roared? Sure isn't this morning, I can tell you that. When's the last time we just laughed? Laughter, Proverbs says, is like medicine. We're cheerful. We're laughing. The church doesn't know how to celebrate anymore. Do you know that? We don't know how to celebrate. If it all works out, all the folks that signed, I haven't got a hold of them yet, but things to be baptized, on December 31st, which is New Year's Eve, the Sunday morning service, we're going to pile this platform with balloons and celebration and celebrate water baptism. We should, can you think of heaven rejoicing when one sinner comes to Christ? They party. Oh, I can tell you don't like that word either. We should be the most joyous people on earth. And it's so healthy for us, for our entire body. Laughter, right? But all these other toxic emotions. Turn in your Bibles to Luke 13, 10 to 13, because I want to prove something here. All right. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit. Well, you interpret that for me. Who had been crippled by a spirit, small s. Not a capital S. The Holy Spirit doesn't cripple anybody. Crippled by a spirit for 18 years. The number 18 is the number of bondage in Scripture, just so you're aware. Very interesting. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." That's how simple it was. The power of his words, "You are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her. That's the transfer of the anointing. We lay hands on the sick because we transfer an anointing. The anointing is here to heal today. There'll be a transfer of the anointing of healing today. Whether it's in your mind, your body, whatever that is, there's a transfer that God wants to do. And we lay hands and we transfer the healing anointing of Jesus Christ into the physical area that needs to be healed. And in this case, there was a spirit, a demonic spirit. When Peter healed, when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever, he went in and he rebuked the fever. That's a really good clue, because obviously the fever was the work of Satan. He rebuked it. You don't rebuke the work of God the Father. You rebuke the work of Satan. And you need to discern what's going on. When I went over to Burma a number of years ago, preached in the church there, and then we prayed for people as they came to the altar. There was a man, after everybody had been prayed for, that brought his little girl up. And through the interpreter, he said to me, "This little girl's burning up with a fever." Now see, they can't just take that little girl to the hospital. There's no such thing. They can't just run and go grab Tylenol or whatever. There's no such thing there. There was maybe in the city a little bit, but these are impoverished people. They need a miracle. And by the way, there's a difference between a miracle and a healing. A miracle is instant. A healing is progressive. So what happens is when people come and we pray for them and they don't see an instant result, we all have done this. We walk away and go, "Nothing happened." You need to receive your healing and stand on the word of God and say, "I am healed according to the word of God." You walk in your healing. You walk in it. And so this man came with his little girl, and through the interpreter said, "She has a fever." And the man, through the interpreter, looks at me and says, "Satan." I said, "Yes, sir." So I rebuked that fever in the name of Jesus Christ, and you tell me what happened to the little girl. She was healed. That's what I was waiting for. She was healed. Wow. It's like we're so foreign to all this stuff that we forget that this is what the gospel's all about. She was healed. He knew that Satan was attacking his little girl. And he knew the only answer was Christ. "Somebody please lay hands on my daughter." Now he brought his faith and I brought my faith, and we threw that mountain of fever out the door through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's really good stuff. Toxic emotions. Generational. I didn't write this down. That's a touchy one in the church. Oh, no, don't talk to me about that. Okay, here's what I've heard. I hear Christians walking around, "Well, my dad had a heart attack. I guess I'm just going to have one too." That's the truth. "Well, you know, my family, we're all crazy. I'm crazy too." I'm not talking about my family. Well, a few members. Okay. Yeah, like, we won't go there, right? Seriously. Somebody's hugging my mother. My mother's going, "Oh, dear Jesus, save that man." Seriously. "Well, you know, we got sugar diabetes running rampant in our family. We're 50 pounds overweight." Ouch, that hurt. We can do a lot about healing ourselves, folks. We got to get maybe like a treadmill. You know, a little less. Okay, we won't go there. It's true. But I hear this all the time. "My dad had this," or "My mom had this," or this. Wait a minute. Let's sever that off the family line according to the curse that was broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And then start speaking. "I'm healed. I'm healed." And how do we do this? As you're going to study this in your life groups, because I want to come. Mark, I want you to come and come on up. through the Word of God and through the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. That means that every, well, that's your mic. That means that everything must bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Everything must bow. Every sickness, every disease, every demonic attack must bow, but you must take authority. So I've asked Mark to come up, and we're going to share. Mark and Mandy are part of my Living Free group on Wednesday nights, and they went through it last year, and now they lead tables at Living Free on Wednesday night. And Mark, you came to me after one of the Living Free things, and he said, Pastor Mark, can you pray for me? My back is really, really bad, and I want to be healed. And I said, yep. But I said, here's what we'll do after everybody leaves. We'll just get some folks. And so we had Living Free over in what's now the Edge. So I just got a group of people, and I brought them right to the back there, wasn't it? Yep. Right back here in the sanctuary. Yeah, you want to talk now? Forget it. I'm talking. Okay. it's exciting. He got healed. So we sit him down on a chair, and we get people around him, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Just one word right now. Okay. So, Mark, I'm going to say what I felt in the Holy Spirit. And as I laid my hands, and we all laid our hands on him, I got one word from the Holy Spirit. And how I test that if I'm getting this right, for me, I'm not saying it's for you, is if the word is constantly being repeated in my spirit. I'm hearing. How many know my sheep know my voice? Yeah, Jesus. He was talking. And I think, injury?
Accident.
Accident. Thank you. I said, Mark, I keep getting the word accident. Go ahead and tell them what happened at 13.
When I was 13 years old, we were in a pretty bad car accident. My mom passed away in that accident, and my brother was pretty badly hurt as well.
Right. And so the back injury was from the accident.
Yeah, it's been chronic forever.
And how old were you? 13, you said?
13, yeah.
Okay, now watch this. This is really, Jesus is amazing. So I said, okay, because that's what I got. So we were going to go now and pray for the healing of Mark's back. The Lord stopped me again. And I'm listening. So I said to Mark, you okay with this?
Yeah.
Okay, I said, Mark. So a semi-truck jackknife, correct, Mark?
Yes.
And there was like a 30, 40 car pileup?
Yeah.
Mom was killed instantly.
20 minutes.
Minutes.
Yeah.
I said to Mark, because this is what I sensed the Holy Spirit say. I said, Mark, have you forgiven the truck driver? You go ahead.
Well, I thought I had. It was a... He had been driving pretty bad for the road conditions, and he ended up in the psychiatric ward at a hospital, and he hung himself there. So I had always just thought I had forgiven him, because there's no bigger condemnation than that for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I had always thought I had, but it was very, very apparent to me by what flowed out of me that I hadn't. And I don't think I'm that emotional of a person, but boy, did I cry. Wow, yeah. did it ever come out, let me tell you.
Yeah. So there was a healing of your soul
that
night, and what happened to your back?
Nothing initially. Like, I didn't feel anything, but we talked about it afterwards, and you have to just keep declaring it and speaking it, because I really am a big believer that you have to keep talking. And keep we have the power of life and death in our words. Mm-hmm. I think we also have the power of sickness and health in our words. Mm-hmm. So I kept speaking that over the next bit. I woke up in the morning and I felt a little different, but I was really thinking about this since I shared it at Living Free. Mm-hmm. That the next day I was sitting at my desk, and I sit too long, and that's a fact, but I felt like there was a rubber band that was being stretched and released. So I didn't think too much of it. It was like I was having a muscle, like right up here by my belly button. And then I didn't think anything of it. The next day I woke up and I was walking around the house, because when you don't hurt, you just walk. And it was done. Like I was just literally had no more pain. Now that doesn't mean to say, oh, my hamstrings, wow, were they ever sore. Like for 3 days, it was just like a big, big weight workout but that doesn't mean that I don't have the odd pain. That doesn't mean that I don't need to stretch, because God didn't give me a 20-year-old back. He gave me my back.
Yeah.
So, right? So I still have some aches and pains.
Word. Yeah.
And because I was thinking about how to say this, because every once in a while this morning I woke up and I was sore.
Yeah.
So I had to stretch this morning. Yeah. So when you wake up and you get healed and you come here and you get prayed over, it doesn't mean that you're going to get a 20-year-old back. You won't. But
you could.
You could, absolutely.
I'm going to say you could.
But you really want to make sure that you keep speaking